principle of contribution. An insured can hold multiple policies for the same subject but cannot claim more than the actual loss to avoid profit. Reinsurance. Reinsurance or insurance for insurance allows an insurer to transfer risks to another insurer if a potential claim exceeds their capacity. Let's understand both these. Principle of contribution. An insured can hold multiple policies for the same subject but cannot claim more than the actual loss to avoid profit. So let's say, for example, you have a medical policy from the company. At the same time, you have a medical policy for your parents to cover them for their ailments. Now, that policy you have taken much before you got employed with your new employer, who has a policy to cover your parents too. Now what happens? Your parents in this case are covered by two policies. One is the policy that your employer has. The second is their own medical policy. Now this is what is acceptable. An insured can hold multiple policies for the same subject, but you cannot claim more than the actual loss to avoid profit. What this actually implies in regular practice is that you can put up a claim to both these companies, 50% to one company, 50% to the other, with the knowledge of the balance being claimed by the other company, from the other company. Or you can go ahead and claim the full amount from only one insurance company. Either it is from your insurance which the company has given you, or the insurance policy that you have for your parents much earlier. The reason for this is both the policies cannot cover the total loss and give you a double payment. That cannot happen because it is more of a compensation for loss rather than profit. Reinsurance. Reinsurance or insurance for insurance allows an insurer to transfer risks to another insurer if a potential claim exceeds their capacity. Let's say you have taken an insurance policy with a new insurance company, which has just started business about 2 or 3 years back. For whatever reasons, you selected this insurance company, which was a new fledgling in the industry, in the insurance industry. However, what will the insurance company do? Your business is big, and it is your claim or your policy that you have taken with them for the coverage of damage far exceeds their capability of making good that claim. In that situation, what do they do? To protect themselves, they insure your policy with another insurance company. And it is not only your single policy, there would be number of policies that they would insure with another insurance company. So in short, they have insurance for the insurance that they are providing you. Principle of loss minimization. The principle requires the insured to act prudently to minimize potential losses to the insured subject matter. Principle of proximate causes. When an accident has multiple causes, the insurer considers the nearest or most proximate cause and pays only for that. Principle of loss minimization. This principle requires the insured to act prudently to minimize potential losses to the insured subject matter. Which means, let's take an example to understand this. If there is a fire that you are witnessing and it is your property that is on fire, or there is some fire that has started in the business premises that you own. Now, when they mean by the insured to act prudently means that you should have firefighting equipment. There should be an effort from your side, from your employees, to put out that fire till the time the fire brigade can come and guide them to reduce the damages. This is where it means loss minimization. Principle of proximate causes. When an accident has multiple causes, the insurer considers the nearest or most proximate cause and pays only for that. Which means that, let's say, for example, you have taken an insurance for fire and loss due to that fire. But there has been a loss because of that fire further, there was a collapse of the building or the premises and part of it collapsed down because of the structure or whatever were the reasons. Now the insurance company would look at the damage because of the fire not the damage of the premises which has fallen down because of some other reason. So what it means is that the principle of proximate causes applies. The insurer considers the nearest or most proximate or the biggest reason cause for the damage and pays only for that. Process of settlement of insurance claim. The general procedure for the settlement of an insurance claim with an insurance company is: file the claim promptly or within the policy's time limit. A surveyor is appointed within 72 hours to assess the loss and provide complete information to avoid delays. Surveyor submits a report to the insurer. The insurer offers settlement or rejection within 30 days. Claims are settled or rejected within 30 days with reimbursement made in 7 days if accepted. Let's go through the process again. The general procedure for the settlement of an insurance claim with an insurance company is: file the insurance claim for the damages as soon as possible, or definitely within the policy's time limit. So if the policy's time limit is 4 days or 7 days, you must put up your claim before that. What happens after? The insuring company will appoint a surveyor within 72 hours to assess the loss and visit the premises if required. When the surveyor comes to assess the loss to the premises, you are required to give him complete information to avoid any delays. The surveyor, after has seen the premises, has seen the damage, assesses the total loss and submits a report to the insurer. The insurer goes through that settlement, goes through the claim that has been put up or what has been confirmed by the surveyor, and either accepts it or rejects or may go in between. That means that if the loss is expected, is put up by the surveyor to be, let's say, just for example, 10 lakhs, they may either say we will compensate for 8 lakhs because of XYZ reasons, or we reject the claim. Claims are settled or rejected within 30 days. That means they will inform the insured party, that means the policyholder, whether his claim is likely to be settled, if it is to be settled, for what amount, if it is rejected. But this decision from the insuring company must come within 30 days. If the reimbursement or if the settlement is accepted by the policyholder, the reimbursement must be made in 7 days if the settlement has been accepted by the insured party. But there can be reasons for rejection of insurance claim. Let's understand why an insurance claim gets rejected. The following are the main reasons for the rejection of the insurance claim. Inadequate disclosure. The policyholder must provide accurate information to the insurer as per the principle of utmost good faith. If the insured withholds or misrepresents material facts, the insurer may reject the claim. Inadequate disclosure. The policyholder must provide accurate information to the insurer as per the principle of utmost good faith. If the insured withholds or misrepresents material facts, the insurer may reject the claim. Let's take a small example to understand this. Most of the premises, business premises, have CCTV cameras. Now, when there is a theft claim that has been put up, and when the insuring company and the police would ask for CCTV coverage, you as a business premise holder say that the CCTV coverage doesn't work, but at the same time you have not to compensate for that CCTV not working or the CCTV network not working, you have not compensated it by employing a security company to look after the security of your premises. In this case, the insurance company is likely to reject your claim. Delay in filing an insurance claim. The insurance must file a claim within the specified time limit or the insurer may reject it. However, the Supreme Court ruled in 2017 that delays can be excused if there is a reasonable cause. Delay in paying a premium. Claims may be rejected if the policy is inactive due to non-payment. Delay in filing an insurance claim. As we understood, you must file a claim as per the insurance policy time limit or as per a general time limit that has been specified by the insuring company. The insured must file a claim within the specified time limit or the insurer may reject it. However, the Supreme Court has ruled that delays are accepted or to be excused if there is a reasonable cause, which means, let's say, for example, somebody has gone through an accident. Now he has to put up a claim, but he is unable to sign or he is not able to actually put even his thumb impression because of the injury. In this situation, a delay in paying putting up the claim is accepted because there is a reasonable cause. Delay in paying a premium. Claims may be rejected if the policy is inactive due to non-payment. Let us understand, as per an insurance contract, when the insured party, that means the policyholder, accepts that contract, it has also accepts a condition of paying a premium. Now, paying a premium is normally permitted on the day that you get enough reminders to pay the premium by a certain date, and after which you get 30 days more as a period to pay that premium. Now, if you avoid paying that premium beyond those 30 days or the time that has been specified by the policy, or rather in the policy, then your policy automatically becomes inactive. What does a policy become inactive mean? Which it means that now if there is a claim that comes up, the claim is likely to be rejected. Pre-existing condition. The insured must disclose any pre-existing medical conditions to the insurer. Concealing this information may lead to policy termination and is considered fraud. Concealment of information. The insured must provide all relevant information to the insurance company and avoid concealment. Hiding information may result in claim rejection. Let's understand. We looked at this earlier, but let's understand the actual requirement. Pre-existing condition. The insured must disclose any pre-existing medical conditions to the insurer. Concealing this information may lead to policy termination and is considered fraud. Let us understand here, you have IRDAI, which is the governing body for all insurance policies. Now, which means that if there is a case, even a single case with one insuring company, where there is a case of not disclosing a pre-existing medical condition and the policy gets terminated, you can probably understand that there will be no other insurance company which would cover you for your medical condition. The reason is it is considered as a fraud. Concealment of information. The insured must provide all relevant information to the insurance company and avoid concealment. Let's say, for example, you have a warehouse, but it is not guarded at all. Then you need to tell the insurance company that I have a warehouse at so and so place, but there are no security systems in place except the CCTV, which works on a regular basis. But what are the conditions? How much the kind of recording that you are doing? How many hours of recording is preserved? What is your process of preserving a backup? Things like that. Reinsurance. What is reinsurance? We are looking at it again. Reinsurance is a contract where an insurance company transfers part of its risk to another insurer to protect against large losses. What is insurance? Insurance is a contract where an insurance company, that means we took that example. Let's say a new insurance company would like to cover you or has issued a policy to you for your health. Now you get into a medical condition and they are covering you for a heart ailment or maybe a cancer treatment. Now in this situation where the cost could be extremely high and they would have to compensate you for all the losses, they would transfer your policy or cover their risk of your policy and others' policy that they have issued to another insurance company. This is where the reinsurance is a contract where an insurance company, that means the company that insured you, transfers part of its risk to another insurer to protect against large losses. What is the difference between insurance and reinsurance? Insurance provides coverage to individuals against unforeseen risks, while reinsurance covers insurance providers against certain losses. Life insurance and other policies offer financial security to individuals, whereas insurance does the same for insurers, though both serve different purposes. Let us understand the difference between insurance and reinsurance. Insurance provides coverage to individuals or to companies against unforeseen risks, while reinsurance covers insurance providers against certain losses. That means the company that is reinsuring the insurance company is aware of the kind of losses, likely losses, that it is going to incur. Life insurance and other policies offer financial security to individuals, whereas reinsurance does the same for insurers. So, which means, similar to a life insurance policy which guarantees you a certain payment or certain financial security to your family after your death, the reinsurance company ensures coverage or compensation or financial security to the insuring company. That means for the insurer. Though both serve different purposes. Different types of reinsurance. There are two types of reinsurance policies. Treaty reinsurance covers all policies in a category or time period. Facultative reinsurance covers specific individual policies. So let's say this small insurance company, ABC Insurance, has an option of going in to reinsure their risks with another insuring company. Now they could go in for two policies. One, a treaty insurance, where they cover all the policies that have been issued by them in a fixed period, or let's say all life insurance policies or all commercial insurance policies, either of them, or maybe more than one also. Facultative reinsurance covers specific individual policies, which means that this ABC Insurance doesn't cover all their policies, but they only are covering those policies with their insurer where their insurance outpay is much, much higher than their own capability. So they could be looking at individual policies of business holders or of individuals. Aims of fire insurance: financial protection from fire damage, risk reduction, legal compliance, liability coverage, safer communities, and peace of mind. What does a fire insurance cover, or what does it try and cover? It gives you financial protection from fire damage. That means your premises, any damage to your premises due to the fire, you are financially covered to get it repaired. Risk reduction: as a result of this, you do not have to now bother about what could go wrong with in case of a fire at your commercial premises. Legal compliance: a lot many rules and regulations of the government require you to comply to an insurance policy or have an insurance policy against fire, theft, etc. Liability coverage: your liability is covered to a large extent by the fire insurance. Safer communities: it sort of gives a very safe and a comfort to all the communities in and around your commercial premises that there, if there is a damage because of a fire in any of the companies, we are all covered against a common cause. Peace of mind: where the business owner has got so many other challenges to tackle on a day-to-day basis, the damages due to fire is the last thing on his mind. So this definitely an insurance policy covers up, and then he need not bother about that area of risk or that area of damage. Financial protection: it protects against financial loss from fire damage to property and assets, which means that if there is any fire in the company or in that premises and there is a loss to property or to loss to certain equipment, electronic equipment, computers, laptops, etc. Those losses are also covered by the fire insurance company, the fire insurance policy. It is covering not only the repair damage to the property itself, but also assets which are inside that property. Business continuity ensures quick recovery by covering asset repairs. Third-party liability protection covers damages and injuries to prevent lawsuits, which means business continuity is when you are assured that your risk and your damage is covered, you can go in for getting in the new equipment or purchasing the new equipment. As a result, you are able to continue your business much faster. Third-party liability protection. Let's say you had some guests or somebody else from another company working in your premises for whatever was the reason. They incur some injuries or there is some damage to their property or to their assets. They are also covered. So there will not be a lawsuit against you, which would take years and years for settlement. Reinforcing risk management spreads risk for financial stability. Compliance with landlords and lenders required by landlords and lenders for loans or leases. Peace of mind provides security and reduces stress, encouraging investment and economic growth. Reinforcing risk management. What does this mean? It spreads the risk for financial stability. That means that it has covered the risk for you in terms of fire. Compliance with landlords and lenders. Today we see huge high-rise buildings with commercial spaces available for rent. Now the landlord or the lender, whoever is involved in giving you that lease, would look for a fire protection policy by you as a user. Once you have a policy like that, it will be much easier for the lender or the landlord to lease out that property to you, because he is now assured that if there is damage because of fire to that property of his, it is protected against at least the repair damage. Peace of mind provides security and reduces stress, encouraging investment and economic growth. When you are covered for any loss due to fire, what is the biggest gain that you can get? You have got peace, you have security, and it reduces your stress as to what would happen if there is a damage. So you need not worry on that account, and you can go ahead with investment in your business, in the equipment, or getting in more investment or getting in more equipment for furthering your business. Encouraging responsible property ownership promotes safety and reduces fire risks. Improving credibility shows responsibility to customers and partners. Protecting investments safeguards assets and inventory. Legal compliance required for high-risk businesses. Encouraging responsible property ownership promotes safety and reduces fire risks. We understood, even if you buy the property instead of leasing it, or even if you lease it, the owner of the property is now assured that there is protection available. Improving credibility, whoever are your investment partners or whoever are your other stakeholders, they look at you as a responsible business person who has protected himself and protected the business against fire damage. Protecting investments safeguards assets and inventory. You have a lot of material in the premises. You have a lot of assets in the premises. Once you have a fire insurance policy, all of that, those assets are covered. Legal compliance. Companies which are looking at operations which are stretched across states, or if the stake is very high with respect to a high risk business or a critical business in terms of government compliance or in terms of any defense requirements, then legal compliance would need a fire insurance policy to be in place. Which risk does a fire insurance policy cover? In India, fire insurance covers fire, explosions, lightning, theft, riots, strikes, malicious damage, earthquakes, floods, storms, and more. Vital elements of a fire insurance policy coverage details the protection offered by the policy. Let's look at what all reasons or causes or risks that a fire insurance policy covers. In India, fire insurance covers fire, that means damage due to fire, explosions, lightning, theft, riots, strikes, or even malicious damage. That means somebody has purposefully damaged the property. Earthquakes, damages due to earthquakes, damages due to floods, storms, and more. What are the vital elements of a fire insurance policy coverage? Details the protection offered by the policy. That means that the vital elements under the insurance policy specifies all the possible reasons, the risks, and the causes that the protection is available for. Fire insurance essentials: premium, payment for the coverage; deductible, insured's share of the claim; limits, maximum reimbursement; conditions and exclusions, terms and risks not covered; things to consider before buying a fire insurance policy, business type, location, asset value, and policy details. Let's look at what are the fire insurance policy essentials. A premium is to be paid for the coverage that you require, that is the given. Deductible, insured share of the claim, which means that there would be certain damages or certain claims, certain damages to property or to assets, where there would be the total damage would be shared between the insured person. The insured person is the policy holder and the insuring company. What this implies is, let's say we are looking at an equipment which is worth crores of rupees. Now, the insurance company may specify in their policy that there would be a 10% share of the policy holder. That means that the damages would be paid to the insured person after deductibles. That is, that if the value, again coming back to the example, the value of that asset is 1 crore of rupees and 10% is the policy holder's share, that is the deductible, that means the company, insurance company, would look at paying 90 lakh rupees to the insured policy holder after deducting the 10%, which is the deductible. Limits, maximum reimbursement. They would specify in the policy what is the maximum reimbursement under each category, under each reason, that would be payable. Conditions and exclusions. What is not covered, what risk is not covered, will be specified very clearly under conditions and exclusions, and also will the conditions will specify what is covered after meeting what conditions. Things to consider before buying a fire insurance policy. What should you look at? You should look at your business type, what is your location, the asset value, and look at the policy details. Maybe one insurance company doesn't give you the required coverage that you are looking for. You may have to look at other options, other insurance companies. Marine insurance. Marine transport faces risks like weather, piracy, and conflicts. Marine insurance, mandated by law, mitigates these risks. In India, the Marine Insurance Act of 1963 governs such policies. There are two policies. One is coverage area. Types of marine insurance that are available in the country are coverage area and structure, contract structure. Marine insurance, marine transport faces risks at sea like weather, piracy, and conflicts. The weather can be the biggest cause of damages to marine transport as well as to the marine cargo. Marine insurance, mandated by law, mitigates these risks. That means marine insurance, if you have a policy, marine insurance policy, which is normally the case for any exporter or importer, he ensures that his cargo is protected either way, then you have got a lot of these risks and damages due to these risks covered in that policy. In India, the Marine Insurance Act of 1963 governs such policies. What are the types of insurance, marine insurance policy available in India? One that takes care of coverage area, the other which has a contract structure. Types of marine insurance based on coverage area. The following types of marine insurance are classified based on the coverage area of the insurance policy. Hull and machinery insurance covers damage to the ship's body, hull and machinery, which means this is part of the marine insurance where the ship itself or the ship owner has himself insured the ship. Now, what is that insurance policy covering? It will cover the hull and the machinery insurance. That means all the engines equipment inside the hull of the ship or damage to the hull from the outside will be covered under this policy. Marine cargo insurance covers damage or loss of cargo during transit, including third-party damages. Claims may be denied if the cargo packing is found defective. Marine cargo insurance, one of the most common insurance policies that an exporter or an importer would always look for. What does it cover? It covers damage or loss of cargo during transit, whether it is at the port, on the ship, or anywhere in between, including third-party damages. That means damages due to your cargo to any third party, as well as any other party causing damage to you. Claims may be denied if the cargo packing is found defective. However, a condition from you as the policyholder is that the cargo has to be properly packaged to protect it from damage to the maximum extent. Anything beyond that packaging protection is covered by insurance. Types of marine insurance policies based on the structure of the contract. Liability insurance covers third-party damage or injury. Freight insurance covers shipping companies' liability for transit-related loss or damage. Let's understand, now you have a cargo, a marine cargo insurance policy. What does this marine insurance policy cover? Liability insurance covers third-party damage or injury. Let's say your cargo damaged somebody else's cargo. That person will put up a claim on you. So your insurance policy will look after a claim from that third party on your cargo. Freight insurance covers shipping companies' liability for transit-related loss or damage. When you take freight insurance or freight insurance is included in your marine insurance cargo policy, then if there is a damage due to the ship's negligence or due to any transit-related issues, the payment that was made by you for actual transportation of the ship, of the cargo, then you are covered under damages for those transit-related losses. Open policy. An open policy or floating policy covers an indefinite number of transit journeys during its term. It remains valid until cancelled or until the final payment is settled, whichever comes first. Voyage policy. A voyage policy, similar to marine cargo insurance, covers losses or damages to cargo during a specific journey. It expires once the vessel reaches its destination. Open policy. An open policy or floating policy covers an indefinite number of transit journeys during its term, which means that a ship is going in as an open policy. All its journeys will be covered unless it is cancelled or the final payment. That means there was a term decided of 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, whatever, where the final payment or the final premium is paid and is settled. Or if there is a claim that was put and that claim has been settled, then when there is a 0-0 situation where neither you are expecting any claim to be reimbursed nor is there a claim pending with the company, then you can cancel that policy. A voyage policy has a so-called deadline or a so-called term end that ends with the specific journey. It is similar to marine cargo insurance, covers losses or damages to cargo during a specific journey, but it expires once the vessel reaches its destination. Time policy covers a vessel for a set period, example 1 year, with multiple voyages. Mixed policy combines voyage and time coverage. Single vessel policy insures one ship. Fleet policy covers multiple ships under one policy. Unvalued policy, no assigned value to the insured vessel or cargo. Let's look at different types. Again, time policy covers a vessel for a set period. That means, example, a year with multiple voyages. That means all voyages in that specified time period will be covered under the time policy. Mixed policy combines voyage and time. So it's a hybrid between saying that so many voyages or time, whichever comes first or whichever comes last. Single vessel policy. A fleet owner or a ship owner may have 2-3 ships, but he looks at insuring every vessel separately. Then it would be a single vessel policy. If he thinks of insuring all his ships under one common policy, then he would look for a fleet policy which covers multiple ships under one policy. Unvalued policy, no assigned value to the insured vessel or cargo, which means that here the damage is not to be specified. It can be anything, either the damage to the ship or the damage to the cargo. In an unvalued policy, the property's value is determined after the claim, with the insured proving its true value. Valued policy covers property with predetermined value of claims. Block policy covers all transit risks, including special types for high-risk goods. Port risk policy covers ships docked or under repair, excluding crew and cargo risks. We just understood that there is an unvalued policy, which means that there is no value for the ship or the cargo. What does this mean? This means that the property's value, that means the ship's value or the cargo's value, is determined after the claim. In this case, the insured party, that is the policyholder, has to prove its true value. Once that value is proven, then the insurance company will assess that value and make their payments or compensate the loss. Valued policy covers property with predetermined value of claims. That means everything is specified much more in advance, and only then does the contract get signed. Block policy covers all transit risks, including special types for high-risk cargoes. We all know that there could be special cargo and general cargo on a ship. Special cargo is that cargo which requires certain special handling in terms of storage or material handling equipment or the way the cargo is to be handled. Now, this block policy covers all the transit risks. That means, let's say, when the ship is in transit, or rather the cargo is in transit and the ship is at a port, due to certain reasons, the ship has to shut down its engines and shut down its power. In this case, if there are special cargo types in that ship which require certain cooling temperatures or certain temperature zones, and that temperature is not possible to attain because of the loss of electricity, and there is a damage to those goods, then those damages will be compensated by this block policy. Port risk policy covers ships docked or under repair, excluding crew and cargo risks. So this is another policy which covers, you may not have a block policy, but you may have a port risk policy, which means that if the ship is at port, but we are not talking of any coverage when the ship is at sea. Whereas a block policy will cover all transit risks, that means even when the ship is at sea. So let's understand, port risk policy covers ships docked or under repairs, excluding but does not cover crew and cargo risks. So it is only covering the damage to the ship.